much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
America is once again open for business. We're bringing back those four magnificent words.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Listen here. It's Beer Mug, and why do I waste money on gambling when I could spend it on food? Seriously. I love you.
That guy should not be hosting a family show. Gives me the creeps.
Let me ask you. Sorry, I get like nervous. My nervous ticks.
Let's hear it, man.
You know, just a couple of bros hanging out. Nothing wrong with that.
Guys, I want you to sip
in. Howdy, guys. Must be nice to just pussyfoot your life away. Bunch of pussyfooters.
Yeah, that's right. Just pussyfooting around.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 7th of February.
What's up, you guys?
Just living, Bean. Just living.
Yeah?
Living large.
Congratulations, Allie, on the living.
Thank you.
That's a great first step.
People don't really congratulate you enough for that, and I appreciate it.
Just for staying alive?
Yeah, just waking up.
Think about all the things that have to go right for you to even open your eyes and get up in the morning.
Oh, so true.
All systems go.
Thank you.
Hey, I never take that for granted, by the way.
Bean is straight positivity.
And that's I am.
100%.
Well, when it comes to being alive.
He and Mama Mugs.
You know I'm all about being alive.
That's true.
Hey, I am so fascinated by the Falcon Heavy space launch yesterday. And the first thing I thought was, how is Falcon Heavy not David King of Mexico's DJ name?
Yeah, it's the best.
DJ Falcon Heavy, right?
He's also not a DJ, if that matters.
Well, yeah, true.
Okay.
I am just so all about it, and I feel like I understand 1% of what's going on with this mission.
I don't even know what it is, so.
This is Elon Musk, who, you know, runs SpaceX. He's the Tesla billionaire who is – basically, he's trying to make a commercial enterprise out of space travel.
Right.
He's the guy who's going to send people up into space. He's the guy whose rockets you can now hire to put your payloads in, to take your satellites up. He has been up to the International Space Station. He does all of that. He's a space geek.
Okay.
And he's putting his money where his mouth is. So yesterday they launched from the famous Cape Canaveral in Florida, where the Apollo missions used to launch from. They launched the biggest rocket in the world, basically ever.
Okay.
And the thinking is this is the first step in the kinds of rockets that we will need to be able to take people to Mars, for instance. Because they're that big and that fast.
Okay.
And this rocket that went up yesterday orbited the Earth. Hey, flat earthers, by the way, if you saw any of that video. I mean,
please.
The Earth is just – it was a live stream of the Earth just looking like a marble.
Sure.
And then it will go on past Mars and then continue on even past Pluto, believe it or not. And then we'll orbit the sun for hundreds of millions of years. And what made it so interesting yesterday is that he put a Tesla automobile on the rocket.
In case it lands somewhere?
No.
Why?
Does it work like that? What do you think, Allie? Just show business, I guess?
100%.
It has to be show off.
It's Starman.
It's Starman. So they put an astronaut. They put a dummy in the driver's seat of the Tesla, dressed like an astronaut. And they're playing Starman by David Bowie on a loop in the car. And there's this dude orbiting the Earth right now in a Tesla. There's a car in space, which has to be
Kevin's face right now.
Well, just...
But if you were to see the pictures, your face would be even more like that.
Just makes no sense.
There's a camera following a fake astronaut in a convertible in space. What is going on?
You can't have a convertible in space. At least I know
it might
that.
Not be a convertible. There's just no over.
No, it is
his
a convertible.
Head. Is it a convertible?
Full? Yes, but he's in a spacesuit, Kevin. So it doesn't matter if the windows are down.
Oh,
he's
please, got his arm. You don't understand anything about space.
No, I don't. I know that's true. He's got his arm hanging out the window. By the way,
sure.
Just like casually rolling out the window.
I just showed him a picture. It looks so fake.
It does look so fake. But
that's because it's on a lot in Burbank.
No, it's real.
It's real.
They
fall for everything.
I saw it on TV. You can't fake things that are on TV.
Right.
But it's just so weird. And is it the greatest and most expensive commercial ever for an automobile? Like, don't you think there are lots of bros out there who are going to be like, I got to have that car that's in space?
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Because the car's not doing anything in space.
It's driving in space,
Kevin.
Driving. No,
it's maneuvering lanes.
It's not really. There are no lanes in space.
I mean,
is the dummy using his arms to the left turn,
yes.
right?
Yeah, okay. I think he's doing it mentally.
I see, okay.
As cool as Tesla already was, now you put this on top of it, and it's a miraculous marketing scheme on top of the fact that this guy is all in and invested in science, which is awesome, and in humans being multiplanetary, which I can't begin to understand the challenges involved in not only going to another planet, but living there.
It's science.
Well, it is science, but I mean, think about all the things you'd have to do to be able to spend any kind of significant time other than just sitting in a little space capsule on Mars or something like that to actually be able to live there. Can you imagine the challenges involved there?
No. Mm-mm. I can't even begin to.
And why?
It's a miracle. I can drive my car to work each day.
It is. It's a miracle. And do we agree that that's something we want to do? Is it worth doing just to see if we can? Is that where, or is there some reason why humans need to live on other planets?
More often than ever right now, I say to myself, I don't want to live on this Earth anymore.
It's not enough to leave America.
Right.
You need to leave the Earth.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what the timeline is for something like this, what we'll see in our lifetime. But, you know, this was a big step yesterday. And I was just talking to DJ Falcon Heavy about it. He's also very excited about
That's
it.
Good.
But you should check out some of the footage, and you should see the car in space. And it's actually very, very cool. This just one more thing, by the way, because there's a lot on Elon Musk yesterday. He is a remarkable person. He taught himself computer coding at the age of 12. He sold a game that he had written for $500 at the same age. He started college at age 17, made his first $22 million, by the way, at age 24 when he sold an internet company that he had created that provided city guides and directories to newspapers, online services. He sold that for $22 million, you guys.
Holy crap.
Then he invented an email payment company that later folded in with PayPal. And when he became PayPal's biggest shareholder, that netted him $165 million. He founded Tesla, which is currently valued at over $50 billion.
Jeez.
You said billion, though.
Yes, $50 billion.
With a B.
Dollars, yeah. So I guess when you've got that kind of money and that kind of imagination, no pun intended, but the sky's the limit. I mean, I guess anything.
Just put a car out there. Why?
Anything you can
just
think
put
of,
it out there.
You can do, I guess. So anyway, it's extraordinary times in which we live, my friends.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, my God. Somebody get some salami and cream cheese and rub it all over his face. He's unconscious.
He's the best.
World Star Wednesday is a new feature that we have every Wednesday. Why does John Cusack hate Allie?
I don't know.
I'm gonna try
Great
and
question.
Answer that today.
I mean, I can only speak for myself. I certainly have no idea what's going through John Cusack.
How dare you?
Julie Chen, the host of Celebrity Big Brother.
Sure.
On the show today, we hear. Laura Wasser will be in studio, the divorce attorney to the stars.
She's real good.
She is. And she's got an app or a website?
I think it might be both.
Might be both. All right. So we're going to talk to her about that as it's getting
done. Donna didn't book this one, did she?
She helped. I mean, she sent us the article.
I was afraid
and
of
the link.
Yeah.
Okay. And she made contact with her.
I have a feeling there's going to be some bad news during this hour.
And we'll continue to give tickets to see Walk the Moon at the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the what's happening next. K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:07.
Wonder who came up with the idea to end the song just like that. Let's just throw everything in, all the little pieces of tape that hit the floor. Let's just edit them all together and put it at the end of the song.
I don't know, but I like it.
I like it, too. Love the Beasties. Hey, you guys, it's Wednesday morning. Allie is here. What's happening?
Something happened yesterday that I didn't expect.
Okay.
Never saw coming.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually said these words to myself. Oh, is this too much Star Wars?
You said that to yourself?
Yeah, in my head, not out loud.
Like it makes a difference, but go ahead.
Yeah, because it was announced yesterday that the Game of Thrones creators will write and produce a new series of Star Wars films. Not to be confused, by the way, with the trilogy being developed by Rian Johnson, nor the episodic Skywalker saga that was also announced.
So it's unrelated to all of that?
All of that.
Okay.
So
that sounds great.
Two different series now.
Okay.
Plus the Luke Skywalker couple of movies.
Right.
It's a lot of Star Wars.
It is. But, you know, you think about the Marvel Universe, and they are somehow able to juggle multiple plot lines and multiple movies and multiple characters and figure out a way to kind of, they all fit together and make it work.
I hope so.
So maybe there's a way to do it.
I hope so. And I know, obviously, these won't come out, you know, every other month, but...
It would be awesome if they did.
Would it, though? Or would the work maybe be diluted a smidge?
I don't know.
I mean, I would agree with that if there was one person trying to do it all, but if you've got a very talented team that's working on just their project, there's no reason to think that that couldn't be very good.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Okay. All right, so I shouldn't be worried.
We should be hopeful.
I will be hopeful. That's what
Bean says.
This year has taught me, if anything, be hopeful. You guys, Chelsea Peretti is awesome.
Yes.
We love her. Brooklyn Nine-Nine's Gina Linetti. She's wonderful. Great actress. Great comedian. She was on Conan the other night, and she was talking all about her honeymoon with Jordan Peele, their new baby together. But she also talked about how there's a very specific way that she has benefited from the Me Too movement, and she wanted everyone to know about it.
You felt that the hashtag Me Too movement was benefiting you in a very specific way.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always looking to benefit, you know? A weird thing that I've noticed is an uptick in people watching my one-hour special, and it feels like they're searching for people who aren't rapists to watch their stand-up. Like, it's like that's what it took for people to watch a female comedian's hour special. They're like, okay, that's a criminal, that's a criminal. I guess I'll try this. It's been great.
The good thing is not all male comedians are horrible people.
And that went on for way too long and was way too awkward, them staring at each other and laughing. It was a joy to behold. Oh, I just like her. Wouldn't her and Jordan Peele be like the best people to have over?
I would think so, yeah.
Oh, we should do that. We should have a Jordan Peele Chelsea Peretti game night.
Okay.
Can someone get on that?
Sure.
Allie's having more thoughts in her head.
She's saying them out loud.
Big ideas. Not a shock. Sony Pictures is putting together a sequel for Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Considering it's been the number one movie in four of the last 6 weeks, and those drops in those 2 weeks were just to number two, I think it's a pretty good bet that people would see a sequel. And apparently they're bringing back all the big wigs, Dwayne Johnson, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, and Karen Gillan. So, did you see it? You saw it.
I didn't see it.
Oh,
that was one of those you miss Jumanji?
It was one of those where I had a super busy weekend. And I didn't get to see anything. And then the next weekend, something else caught my eye. So I just haven't seen it yet. It's a guarantee that I would love it.
100%. Absolutely.
I don't know that I've ever known Kevin to miss a movie starring The Rock.
I mean, I do see...
Or Jack Black, really.
Right. All of that is true. I just haven't seen it yet. It's okay, you guys.
Is it Kevin Hart? You hate Kevin Hart.
No, I love Kevin Hart as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds racist.
I just...
It's a little bit.
No, it's not at all. I just haven't seen it yet.
All right.
So everything's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not everybody in a movie can be white, Kevin. I mean, once in a while, it's okay to cast an African-American or even an Asian. What's wrong with you?
Some post office news for Bean. The U.S. Post Office is putting out a Mr. Rogers stamp.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
I saw it. It's awesome.
The Forever Stamp is going to feature Fred Rogers dressed up as the iconic character, just wearing his cardigan.
But I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over
me.
Right. And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
No, thank you.
So you were playing.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
Glad the post office didn't see that episode.
Right? Yeah, it's going to be unveiled March 23rd at Studios in Pittsburgh, which is the public TV station where he used to film his show.
How about some make-believe about hoes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me.
I don't.
A kind of secret, he said.
Mr.
McFeely.
I don't know.
My neighbor had a little trouble with my zipper there.
Okay.
No! Damn it.
This guy's getting a stamp?
Oh, look at all the colors on it. Oh, it is big. And you're going to go up in that?
Okay.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah.
Some people call it a mouth organ.
Mm-hmm.
As you blow in there.
Right.
Come on.
What's the word? We got more.
Yes
please.
It's furry and brown.
Uh-huh.
And some people like to sleep with it.
Right.
And there are many different kinds of them in the world.
Mm. You okay, Allie?
Thank you very much, Mr. McFeely.
Well, you're welcome. I like animals, and I like films, and I know you do, too.
I certainly
I'm
do.
I'm over.
Oh, no. Animals and films.
I don't want a game night with them.
You changed your mind.
Some birthdays for you. Ashton Kutcher, Chris Rock, Garth Brooks, Eddie Izzard, and James Spader. Good Lord.
So good.
How great is he?
Just fantastic in everything.
What's your favorite? Probably Blacklist.
Blacklist, yeah.
Yeah.
Boston Legal.
You'd be Boston Legal.
He was
Boston
great
Legal.
In that, too. Yeah.
Pretty in Pink. Steph. Right?
Sure.
My friend said when he leaned back against the car, that's when she got her period.
That's
Less Than Zero, The Office, all sorts of shows. That's what's happening.
Celebrity divorce attorney Laura Wasser joins us in studio next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is a very smart woman and knows how much sense it makes to hand out her business card here at K-Rock, right? She's no fool. Also, the Chen bot herself, Julie Chen from Celebrity Big Brother, joins us on the show later on this morning as well. Hey, Michael Catherwood.
Hey, how are you?
You know what day of the week it is?
World Star!
World Star Wednesday on Hump Day.
Yeah!
Everybody scream, hip, hip, hooray! World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
Yeah!
Let's see what we have for you today.
World Star!
The website is worldstarhiphop.com, if I remember correctly. And
yes,
they really are the only news website you need to concern yourself with, because if it's important enough, it'll end up on World Star.
No one curates the entire internet better.
Correct.
Than World Star Hip Hop. First clip today. About a year ago, something happened to Ireland. That is Conor McGregor.
Okay.
Where he was already a superstar with what he had done in the MMA octagon. When he fought Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
He became the most important person in Ireland, hands down. And there's now a new saying all over Ireland. This is like quite pervasive. Check it out.
Can I get a bag of something?
Yes.
Oh,
here's Chaser.
Thanks, Harry.
What's
The Mayweathers. That's just like hello, goodbye. It's like aloha.
It's all things.
World Star Wednesday. Everybody's crazy.
Someone at a like a wake?
Yes.
Sorry for your loss.
I'm so very sorry for your loss. How do we do? Oh yeah, F the Mayweather. Oh, no.
I think we need to bring that here.
I
love it.
Cops, the original and still the best reality show, in my opinion.
Sure.
This is a clip from Cops where a man is professing to the he is desperately telling this police officer that he's had no marijuana at all.
Right.
And yet the cop has pretty conclusive evidence. Listen to this.
You haven't smoked any pot tonight?
No.
You haven't smoked any pot tonight?
No.
Holy mackerel. Okay, but the one thing that led me to believe that there might be some marijuana in the car tonight, right behind you here, brother.
Very good.
Very good. Powers of observation.
I didn't even know it was there.
A massive blunt.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy.
Right behind
it. Very good. Very good.
Congratulations.
I mean, it's possible he hasn't smoked it yet, though,
it's
right?
Very possible he forgot it was there, too.
Yeah.
He could be telling the truth.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everyone could be telling the truth. You know, the powers of the observation of the cop. I fell off the court show type thing. I mean, usually I have to be home during midday, and I'm not going to watch like a court TV show.
Like Judge Judy or Hot Bench or whatever those are.
Judge Christine, I guess, is where this clip comes from. But now I may have to start watching if there's more cases like this where a man is suing his ex-wife for $5,000. Why? Listen.
Got a woman in my house that got bad gas. You know, I talk about stuff like that. Worst gas known to man, right here.
How did you do this for a whole year?
Right here.
That part doesn't bother me as much.
Because she knows. She go in the bathroom and turn everything on. The shower, the water, the fan, and be sitting and talk to her mom.
Hey, you can have some time to talk to me.
She goes to the bathroom and leave the door wide open so I can see her. She does that.
She does that.
I mean, we might need to talk to this Wasser lady later, but that's grounds for divorce, in my opinion.
Agreed. There you go.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy. World Star!
Allie, you're the only one here with experience with television news.
Right.
But I've found that when the anchors go off the cuff,
it
either goes really, really poorly
or
fantastic. And this is an example of it going really well.
Amazon earned $92 million last quarter. That's a 20% jump in sales compared to the prior year.
You know why? Because they sell sex toys, and Walmart can't or won't sell sex toys. Amazon does. A friend of mine works in the warehouse. He says they sell a ton of them.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you how it is.
They're trying to eat breakfast.
Well, yeah, but nobody else will tell you this, but that's the reason.
Okay.
Okay.
I love him.
He had that fun fact ready to go,
sure
didn't he?
That was locked and loaded.
I got a friend in the warehouse. He told me.
World Star Wednesday. Everybody's crazy.
World Star!
Luckily, in this next clip, I have to let you know, no one was hurt.
Okay, good.
Okay, but there was a huge fire, and it burned down an apartment complex. Everyone was safe. But the real silver lining of this story is this lady being interviewed about the fire.
Came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't gonna be in no fire, not today.
Drop the mic.
World Star Wednesday, everybody's crazy. World Star!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
We're not sure whether Allie is in a Twitter feud with a Hollywood celebrity, but we're going to try to figure it out.
She thinks not.
Maybe not. Don't know. We'll talk about that and celebrity divorce attorney Laura Wasser all coming up next hour. It's going to be fun here on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, 6:54, what's happening?
I want to give something away to the lovely people that are up at 6:54 in the morning. I want to give away a pair of passes to the premiere of the movie Annihilation at the Village Theater. Kids love it. The Village Theater on February 13th. By the way, that is long before it comes out on the 23rd.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a good movie, right?
Looks great.
Looks great. It's got Natalie Portman. She goes into the woods to figure out what the heck is happening in this area, this environmental disaster area, because her husband came back from it, from a mission, and he's the only one that came back alive. So she's like, I will figure this out. So Jennifer Jason Leigh, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson, Tuva Novotny, Oscar Isaac, Natalie Portman. It looks amazing. Let's take callers 10 through 14 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get a pair of passes to the premiere of Annihilation at the Village Theater. So Howard Stern has a big show coming up on Friday. He has 25 different artists that are contributing Bowie covers. It's called the Howard Stern Tribute to David Bowie Special. And it's going to premiere, like I said, Friday on Sirius XM's Howard 101 channel. And he got some pretty good people to contribute. Garbage is going to do Starman. Billy Corgan is going to do Space Oddity. Greta Van Fleet is going to do the Gene Genie. And then he's got other artists like Slipknot's Corey Taylor, Spoon's Britt Daniel, Bleachers, Daryl Hall, Peter Frampton, Todd Rundgren.
Wow.
Awesome people. And Rolling Stone released a couple clips yesterday, and I've got them for you. First up is Daryl Hall doing a little Fame.
Fame makes a man think things over.
I'll allow it. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Bean, you gave a hmm.
I look. Hard to touch David Bowie.
Right, agree.
But I'll also allow it. And I'm very excited by this list of performers and the list of songs that they've chosen. And I hope that it is going to be available somehow other than just to people who have subscriptions to satellite radio.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely. I also have a little Lisa Loeb doing All the Young Dudes.
All the young dudes carry the news. Boogaloo dudes carry the news. All the young dudes carry the news. Boogaloo dudes carry the news.
I like it.
Cute little glasses.
Good
just
song.
Saying.
I like her. I
adore
it.
Her. Absolutely. Yeah, wouldn't you think they would release that in some form?
I would think it would be on TV someplace.
Yeah, you don't get all of those people to do covers and then be like, oh, but only you people that paid for it. Yeah.
Allie, when we had one of the Kevin and Bean nights at Dodger Stadium, which was a real thrill, that I don't remember if it was the one where Kevin did his best work throwing out the first pitch or not. But Lisa Loeb was there with us because she was singing the national anthem that night.
Yeah,
we had a chance to chat with her for a little bit, and she was just charming, just delightful.
A love bug, right?
Yeah, exactly. I like her very much.
We'll allow her.
Yes.
Excellent. Excellent work. I just want to bring this up because I saw this story and I thought, oh, if there's ever a need for video, we need it from this story. Residents of Peterhead, Scotland, breathing a huge sigh of relief after police rounded up an escaped tiger.
Wow.
There's a little more to the story. The drama started after a local farmer called police to report a large tiger hanging around his property. When cops arrived, they spotted the animal crouching on a ramp leading into a barn.
Oh, man.
No good is happening there.
Oh.
After a 45-minute standoff, police made a startling discovery. That tiger was a stuffed toy.
Did you say 45 minutes?
45 minutes of not seeing the tiger move?
What?
At what point did you say, it's a very non-active tiger we got here?
Pretty still.
Oh, that brought me so much joy.
That's funny.
45 minutes. What is going on in Peterhead, Scotland?
I don't know, but F the Mayweathers, right?
Right? Well, that's Ireland, but I'm sure it's there, too. I like it. I like it all. Taylor Swift, wow, she's got a lot of money, and she is spending it in real estate. She's turning into a little mogul, Bean. She just bought another home in the Tribeca neighborhood for $9.75 million. She owns two other units in that building and a townhouse next door. She has spent more than $47 million in property just in that Tribeca area.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
That is true. That is true.
That beautiful house that you see when she has her 4th of July parties in Rhode Island, on the beach in Rhode Island.
Oh, nope. That one, I love seeing it when I watch that.
Beautiful house. Mm-hmm. She bought that a few years ago for $17 million cash.
Wow.
Imagine just going out and buying houses like you and I, you know, might buy gum.
Yeah.
17 mil? Sure. I have that on me.
Right?
Sure. Cash. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Large bills. Yeah, that's a life right there that she has carved out for herself. Kudos, Taylor. Some birthdays for you. Actor Ashton Kutcher, comedian Chris Rock, singer Garth Brooks, James Spader, and comedian Eddie Izzard. That's what's happened.
A little earlier this morning, Tracy Key Rose from Torrance won two passes to Walk the Moon at the HD Radio Sound Space happening Friday. Your chance to be in that room to see that great band play right in front of you is coming up. Got another chance coming up on K-Rock before the end of the show this morning on the world famous, I already said that, K-Rock.
Mm-hmm. So, Allie.
Yeah.
John Cusack blocked you on Twitter.
Apparently so.
Blocked you.
Yeah.
It's not that he's not following you.
Yeah.
He blocked you.
Yes.
So you can't write to him.
I cannot. I wasn't planning on it.
Has there been a long feud
that's
been going?
No. No. Here's how it all happened.
Okay. Yes, tell us.
I was reading an article about John Mahoney, the actor that passed away. Mm-hmm. Most know him as the dad from Frasier. Or, if you saw Say Anything, he was the amazing dad on that John Cusack's character was trying to, you know, woo his daughter.
Right.
So I saw an article, and it was Cameron Crowe tweeting about him, all these different people tweeting about him. So I was clicking on those tweets to read them, clicked on John Cusack's, and it said, "You are blocked from reading this timeline." I was like, wait, what? This can't, wait, what?
So you're blocked. So he blocked you, actively blocked you.
Actively blocked me.
Have you ever tweeted him?
Yes.
Okay.
I have tweeted him.
I feel like maybe we need to know what you tweeted.
Oh, dear. Do
or
I
at least
look
the,
this up?
No, just the general.
Hey,
the
John Cusack, you're an asshole. Right. What are you going to say about it? I bet you can't stop me from tweeting you.
Right?
Not even a little bit. I tweeted him after I saw the wonderful movie that he did as Brian Wilson.
And you said, great movie, except for your work.
No, tweeted
I'm just trying
him.
To think of how he would block you.
No. You were flawless in Love and Misery. I was raised in Southern California. Can't imagine growing up without the sound of the Beach Boys. Okay.
That's not blockable.
That
okay.
That seems fine.
That's fine.
Another tweet about the Beach Boys and Love and Murphy. Love and Murphy? Love and Mercy. A year prior. I think that was when like everybody found out about the movie.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, maybe I just mentioned him without actually tweeting him.
Okay.
So I looked that up. I put in my @ and then just the words John Cusack, to which I came across a tweet where I said on the 1st of November, 2016, I just want to see John Cusack happy. There, I said it. # go Cubbies. So I was going to root for the Cubs because that would make him happy.
I see.
Now, the only thing I can think is one Jonah Ray wound up saying on that thread, but he is almost definitely a terrible human being. I mean, when your best bud is a piven.
Oh.
And then I said they had a falling out years ago, Team Cusack. But did he see that thread? Was he searching his name and was like, F these two losers talking about me and my friendships? Block, block. But I don't know if he blocked Jonah because Jonah left Twitter in January. So I don't know. I mean, could I reach out to him? Yeah. Do I care enough? Probably not. But I'm
people
just
wonder
saying.
How Allie spends all of her time, by the way.
Right?
She's just laid out how 4 hours of her life went this week.
I was very curious. Did I say something possibly that was offensive or something? So people were all telling me what their theories were.
Okay. What were some
I'm
of the
curious.
Theories?
I'm curious about the theories here because I think that's a reasonable guess that he saw you guys debating whether he should or should not be friends with Jeremy Piven because of what Jeremy Piven may or may not have done.
And it may not have been your tweet at all. Man.
It might not have been.
Right.
And he might have just thought, I just don't need that noise. That's not what I'm here for. So that kind of makes sense. It's a little hypersensitive.
Especially because we didn't at him. That would mean he was just searching his name.
Right.
Yeah, true.
Which, let's be honest, celebrities do.
Right.
Insecure.
And if that's the case.
What?
Right?
Yeah.
Right, so what are the theories the Kevin and Bean listeners have? And by the way, if you have any knowledge at all, any kind of experience on this, if you've been blocked by John Cusack, or if you think you might know why Allie was, please call us at 1-800-520-1067, because I have a theory I'll drop.
Oh, you do?
A little bit, too. But let's hear what the listeners say.
I got everything from, did you do a bad interview with him? Nope, I've never interviewed him.
Okay.
Then they brought Kevin into it. Did what? Kevin hang up on him? Nope.
Not, we have had
not
John
to
Cusack
my knowledge
in our studio, yes, on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I think it went great.
I believe it went great as well.
Had a real nice time, and everybody seemed like they enjoyed it.
There are times when Bean and I are under that impression, and then somebody leaves and they're not under the same impression.
Okay.
But I think in this case it went all right.
I got a lot of Better Off Dead references. Maybe you owe him $2, and I appreciated every single one of those.
Okay.
Got a lot of funny puns. Did you say anything offensive?
What?
I adored them.
You gave him your heart and he gave you a pen. That's what happened, Allie.
Right? Were you standing outside of his home with a boombox? Yeah, I get it. No, none of this happened. But then somebody, and actually a couple people now, have said, you know, he's very political online.
Uh-huh.
He might subscribe to block lists. So if you're on any sort of block list, like if somebody puts you on a block list here, he just has to subscribe to that list and it immediately blocks all the people on that list.
I've never even heard of that.
Yeah.
Who knew that existed?
Yeah, okay. That's for anything. You can have a block list for anything. So trolls, anything like that. But I feel like maybe our sensibilities would sync up more than they wouldn't. But then I found out from someone here that saw my tweet and was like, listen, I had to unfollow him like a year ago because he was getting so conspiracy theory, like kind of cuckoo about politics and everything.
Right.
And then she looked at his timeline again and was like, okay, now he's on the hate Trump train. So he's still super political on there. But it does lend itself to maybe I said something that was retweeted to his timeline that he was like, nope, I will not take it. And just blocked me there.
So he's a snowflake.
He might be a little.
It sounds like.
A little libtard.
By the way,
just crying.
You're not. I love John Cusack as an actor. I think he's enormously talented.
Yeah.
In a million years, I could never follow him or anyone who is obsessed with the president.
It's
like
too
that's
much.
Their whole life is every 15 minutes tweeting out something. And,
and
let me just say.
Except for the video of his hair walking up into Air Force One.
That is a pretty great video.
I mean, that's a pretty great video.
And I will also say, and I am very, very rarely political on social media, too. Because you don't really ever change anyone's mind when you post something.
No, you're talking
to
it. You're in a vacuum.
It's all an echo chamber, right?
Yes.
So you're not missing anything by not being able to follow him, certainly. But I think you're dead on that it has to do with the block list.
Yeah.
If you search John Cusack blocked me on Twitter, you will find lots of stories from lots of people who
really?
Have been blocked on Twitter. Almost exclusively because of political comments. And in fact, here's a quote from Mr. Cusack from last year. Block lists have weeded out many of the troll bots, but I'm sure some were blocked who aren't trolls. So sorry.
Oh,
I bet that's what happened.
He's talking to me.
It sounds
Are
like
you
somehow,
positive that you're not part of the whole troll
I
group?
I told him that I loved him in Love and Mercy and I was rooting for the Cubs. God damn it.
What does a person have to
huge.
Do?
That is huge.
But there's no chance you would have, like you said, you two would be more politically aligned than not. There's no chance you would have ever tweeted something that would have gotten you on that kind of a conservative block list, right? I wouldn't think.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
It's possible.
Did I hit that? I'm sorry.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I was trying to go for this.
Not positive
let's,
what that was.
Let's see what David's got to say. He's on line 3, 1-800-520-1067. Sherman Oaks. Hi, David.
Hello, David.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, hello. So you guys are missing the point. John Cusack doesn't know who he's blocked and who he hasn't. He operates at a level far beyond mortal men. So
okay.
he's got a
social media manager guy who's on Twitter that blocks people for him?
Exactly. He's got his whole agency team manages his social media presence. And so he has no idea. So, Allie, if you keep trying, maybe you'll get his personal attention. But, you know, like the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, do you guys manage that directly? Who manages that?
Well, I mean, about four of us do, yeah.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, and I think maybe
the King
you're,
of Mexico does, and I do. And
this might get me blocked. I think you're overselling John Cusack. He is not too busy. Trust me, he is managing his
He's
own
got
account.
Time.
He's got some time.
But maybe he is writing back to tons of people,
yeah.
too. He's doing nothing but getting in Twitter fights right
see,
now.
See, I wouldn't know that. I'm blocked.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I see where you're going, though, and I bet that is the case with a lot of celebrities. I bet there are plenty who just have a team that run it, you know. But I don't think that's the case because what he's writing seems to be so personal and important to him. But thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it, David.
So the block was also important to him as well.
Apparently.
That he block you.
So what's the plan? Does it matter to you to get back in good graces with Mr. Cusack, or are you willing to just let it go?
I wasn't even following him.
She is an author, an entrepreneur, a family law expert, and the divorce attorney to the stars. I am so glad, Laura Wasser, that I am meeting you in this setting and not in your office in Beverly Hills right now. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Bean would like to know if this is a result of his wife contacting you.
It is not.
Okay, it's not.
Okay.
Promise.
And are we, should we watch our words and the clock? Are we being charged by the hour
you
as
are,
we interview
you, are
you
not.
Laura?
No, we're all good.
You don't discuss your high-profile clients, but if Wikipedia is to be believed, there's never been a divorce in America that you haven't somehow been involved in.
That's not true.
Heidi Klum, Angelina Jolie, Kim Kardashian, Ryan Reynolds, Christina Aguilera, Hilary Duff, Stevie Wonder, Britney Spears, Kate Walsh, Johnny Knoxville, Jimmy Iovine, Maria Shriver. The list just goes on and on and on and on and on. Why do you think you have so many of these people coming to you? Is it just good word of mouth?
I think it's good word of mouth. I think the other part of it is that I keep my mouth shut, so I won't even verify that all of those have been my clients. But it's public record who we've represented at the firm, and I think a lot of it does have to do with our absolutely no PR policy about those cases, and I think people appreciate that.
What's the current guess on the percentage of marriages that end in divorce, Laura, if you know?
The facts that I've been given lately when I've been out talking about it's over easy are that we're still at 50% in the U.S., and then in California we are at 60%, and that California and New York State are responsible for 20% of the U.S.'s divorces.
Wow. You are kidding.
Yes. Yes.
What's wrong with us?
Wow. I mean, we're number one. But
we are number one. We are indeed. And what is the number one reason?
That I don't know.
No?
I will tell you from having practiced family law in Southern California for 23 years, I don't think it's adultery or mm-hmm. money or whatever. I think people just grow apart and they don't communicate about it.
Yeah, so they don't take the time.
Built up resentment and people get angry at each other and then they just go in different directions and then they do things like have affairs or
yeah.
buy things that maybe they shouldn't be buying to kind of fill a hole or whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does your job get depressing?
No.
Because it seems like you're always talking to somebody who's miserable.
Yes, but, and here's kind of the silver lining. We are helping them kind of get through a crappy time. And so if you're helping somebody get to the other end of something, you actually do at times go home and feel like, okay, I did something good today.
I helped somebody move forward.
They're already getting divorced. Like, I wouldn't want to be a family counselor, but
right.
if they're already going through something that's not so fun and we can help them get to the other end of it,
mm-hmm.
then I feel like, okay, maybe this is a problem-solving type thing
yeah.
and we're okay.
And you also can feel good about they have a very unpleasant task ahead of them, this dissolution, and maybe you can make it a little easier for them.
Well, and that
more pleasant.
That's why I've been continuing to do this for so many years. That's why I wrote the book 5 years ago, and that's why I came up with It's Over Easy.
All right, let's talk about itsovereasy.com.
Okay. So
seems like it's putting yourself out of business.
It's not, because what we realize is, as you said, most of the firm's clients are very high wealth individuals. They can afford to pay a lot of money. Most of their situations are more litigious. There's more conflict. But the majority of people that are going through this don't have a ton of money. They don't have, you know, very complicated situations. And if given the tools and the information, they could go and do it themselves. And so that we're giving them the tools, we're making it easier, we're helping them, and I'm hoping that at a lower cost, these people will be able to do it in a way that makes sense for them. So now we're doing more problem solving and we can really feel good about ourselves.
Now, I would imagine that one of the biggest hang-ups, one of the biggest things for the couple that's splitting to agree on is alimony. How do you work out something like that if they're going through a website? I mean, I almost feel like you do need a mediator to talk about what's a reasonable amount for spouse A to pay spouse B if alimony's involved, right?
Right. Well, there. I mean, but we're only in California and New York right now. We will roll out in more states as the year goes on. But in
but
most
not really
states,
needed. You got California and New York.
Exactly.
That's pretty much most of it.
but we have had a lot of interest from other states, so we gotta get to those guys. But there's guidelines in those states, and you base alimony, which is spousal support, on marital lifestyle and ability to pay and that kind of stuff. And as you may or may not know, our new Republican tax laws changed things at the end of 2018. So where alimony used to be tax deductible, the person who pays it gets a nice tax deduction, that will no longer be the case. So now we're all scrambling to figure out how to make these net support numbers. That's kind of been a pain for family law attorneys because we got to figure out how to negotiate them. That was a good negotiating point for us because usually the person who was getting the support was getting a little bit of a windfall, and that was helpful. So that's a bummer as far as I'm concerned, but we'll work through it. But for the site, one, there are support calculators on there, so they will help. But the other thing is
it as easy as a calculator?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a calculator, but you put things into the equation and it gives you a range. The other thing is we do have divorce coaches and mediators available to people. There's three different packages. One is $750. That's kind of just the forms and our artificial intelligence that helps you get through it. Because the reason other websites have not done well doing online divorces, these forms are really complicated. And so you can't just look at the forms and do them. So we baked into our system all kinds of great knowledge. And then there's little pop-ups of me going, hey, I guess you guys didn't know what date of separation is. Here's what it is. Because we did market research and found you buy an espresso maker. They give you a big, thick booklet of information. You never read it. You go on YouTube.
Right.
So we YouTubed me, telling people how to get through the
forms. That's brilliant.
So yeah, and then they don't have to read. They can just look at it, and then they
and
go,
especially
okay,
especially when legal
great.
Terms are involved, it's nice to have it explained to you. Yeah.
I mean, I did my first – I got my only divorce when I was 25, and I was already a lawyer, and I still had no idea. I mean, it's really daunting. Now imagine – if you English isn't your first language. I mean, it's so so we have really, really figured out a way to get through them easily. But as you said, Bean, it's not so easy to just come up with these numbers. And how about, you know, custody? How do you figure out what's the best custody schedule? Well, we've got all kinds of custody calendars, examples. We've got things if you plug in whatever it is, your birthday, Ramadan, Hanukkah, you plug them in and then they sync with your Google Calendar.
Wow.
So it's a really, really great way to work with what we now have as these modern devices to help with co-parenting. All of those things are in there. And in the higher packages, the Pro and Premier, which are $1,500 and $2,500, you get 30 minutes or 90 minutes with a mediator. So you can FaceTime them, call them, meet with them in person if you're close by and you want to have a face-to-face, and they'll help you if you hit a wall with your partner with some of the tough stuff.
And in contrast, if you each hire lawyers, what would that cost?
Well,
the average, not me,
yes. But the average in the U.S. is, we found, $20,000.
Oh, so, to get a divorce?
To get a divorce, because
why are people getting married?
Well, that is a very good question. that I would ask.
Don't get married.com is our other site.
Laura, don't answer that, because I think that is a discussion that is worth having, and we have a bunch more questions. Laura Wasser is here. She is an attorney. The website is itsovereasy.com. It has nothing to do with making eggs. Guys, this is Divorce the Easy Way. More with our guests right after this on camera.
So Allie was just giving advice and during the commercials, is that
what
was happening?
No, I was just saying after a divorce, don't be the first one to date the guy after his divorce. Be the second, be the third, because they are a mess. Just saying. And dudes, the same for you. Don't be the first after a woman gets the divorce.
Let me ask our guest, divorce attorney and family law expert Laura Wasser, does Allie know what she's talking about?
I concur. Again, not I'm only a divorce expert, not really a dating expert, but I will say that my understanding is that you need to give these folks a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you end up being the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask you a very serious question, Laura, because we had a conversation a couple of months ago, and I said something that turned out to be controversial on the show, and people yelled at me and said I was a dum-dum. But you're the expert here, so I want to know if you think I have a leg to stand on with this opinion. Just because you get a divorce does not mean that the relationship was a mistake or a failure, is my statement.
I do not think you are a dum-dum. And I actually would like to say that that is one of the things, that's this whole philosophy that I have. And people have said like, oh, you want people to get divorced. I don't want people to get divorced. But if they're getting divorced, I want them to do it in a way that they can then not look at that relationship and feel it was a failure. I've got two kids with two different guys. I wasn't married to either of them, but I'm still really close with them. They're still my family. I still love them. I don't think that my relationships with them were a failure at all. And that's because I've got these great kids. I've got these great family members that are these guys that are my co-parents. I think if our society starts looking at divorce like Bean looks at divorce, God, this is a scary thing to say.
Take it easy, right there. You don't want to side and with Bean.
It's just at a societal level.
I'm going to give you a chance to just stop right there.
Hey, I can hear you guys.
Then,
you know that,
sorry,
right?
Sorry. Then I think we might be in better shape because I don't know that human beings were meant to mate for life. Those of you who have found your lifetime partners till death do you part, God bless you. But I think that we're seeing that that's probably not how most people go, especially when we're living so much longer mm-hmm. these days. So
I agree with that. And I'll also say to piggyback on something you said earlier, Laura, in that people grow apart sometimes because they're not the same person at 25 as they are at 50. And it's not necessarily somebody's fault.
Right.
And there's not a bad guy or a good guy or a right or a wrong. It's
you
just
sound very
Bean.
Defensive.
What are you going through?
What's happening,
that,
Bean?
Yeah, let's talk
people,
about it.
Look,
are you okay?
I am very happily married and have been for 26 years, Laura.
Is so Donna.
This isn't me. But I'm saying that people can grow apart, and it doesn't mean somebody's done anything wrong or is a bad person. It's
oh,
just
I
that
agree with all of
we
that,
We evolve.
Too. And by the way, the states that with the second highest divorce rates, because we're highest, New York and California, as I said, but some of the other really high ones are like Utah, and the reason why is young brides.
Yeah. They get married
people
too
get
young.
Married really young, yeah. And then they're living longer. So after a period of time, they as you said, they're totally different people. Mm-hmm. And isn't it better for their kids to see kind of happy, evolved parents than miserable parents 100%. That are handcuffed to each other?
Yes, I think so.
And also with divorce, especially with something like Over Easy, being so easy and something you can do and it can be painless, I watch a lot of Dateline. A lot of people are murdering people instead of just getting a divorce.
Yes, I heard about that. Don't hang out at Mike's house. I
right?
But,
she's doing the same thing. She's watching all that 48
but
hours.
And but it's absolutely true. And again, I do. It's not easy and it's not painless. Mm-hmm. You are still going to have to go through the emotional devastation yeah. of getting divorced. We just want to make the legal part easier mm-hmm. and less expensive so that then you can do the healing, come out on the other side, and be an effective co-parent, co-partner, stuff like that. We also have on the site tons of content so you can read people's articles about what they've gone through, about what their specialty is in their profession. So you can really browse and figure out if this is what's right for you, a divorce, or if your kid's going through it, if you're, you know, an adult parent or if you're a friend. And then on the other end of it, we've got this amazing directory of providers for anything you can imagine, whether it's somebody to help you with your will or somebody to help you with your financing and budgeting because you didn't really ever do that during your marriage. Your spouse did it. Or somebody to give you a great spray tan so you can get back out there and start
right?
dating.
Oh my God. I thought of everything.
Yes. Yes. You really did.
Wow.
Laura, you said you've been married one time before, and it was a long time ago, right?
Yes.
Is it because of the exposure to what you see in your day-to-day job that you made a decision to never get married again, or just nobody ever asked you again?
Oh, nobody
oh, Bean,
ever
come
asked
on.
What a dick.
Right?
No,
I'm just
asking. Well, think about it. Would you ask me to marry you? No, I think it is because I think everybody should get married once, especially mm-hmm. girls. I mean, it's so wonderful, and it's your day, and you have flowers. So I was 25. We had this beautiful, very expensive wedding, 10 bridesmaids, 10 groomsmen. I never, ever felt the need to do that again. I still have those pictures. I pull them out every once in a while with a bottle of wine, and look at how great I looked back then. But no, I mean, and then, you know, and again, we didn't have any kids. We had some credit card debt and a dog, and I got both. But I think that basically, it's not because of what I do. I think it's because of where I live and what I see. I never saw the need to do it again.
Is it a lot harder, without specifying anybody, is it a lot harder for celebrities who are in the public to be friends with each other? sort of and co-parent without the rumor mill starting right. back up again. Is that more difficult?
I don't think so. Not I think really. They can do it, and I think the ones we've seen do it have set a really good example for the rest of us in terms of the conscious uncoupling and the co-parenting that we are now seeing a trend towards. You asked me, Kevin, at the break, is, you know, the custody the hardest? It's only hard when it's hard, but most of the time it's not hard because people come in knowing, hey, I really want to share custody with my spouse, and I want to make sure my kids have exposure to both their mom and their dad.
Yeah, makes sense.
We,
yeah.
You know, we don't know these people, and you can never put yourself inside someone's house and certainly not inside someone's marriage. But just as an outsider, you look at, like, why would anyone want to divorce Brad Pitt? And the flip side of that is, why would anyone want to divorce Angelina Jolie? I mean, I really think it does shake us on the outside when we see couples that seem like they have it all split up.
Yes, and I think we just, you never know.
I don't know,
and I hear a lot about them, but I don't know what goes on inside their homes, and you never know what happens.
Wow.
Just pausing.
Just take a breather right there.
Just thinking about if those kids can't make it.
I don't think that about anyone. Because I'll either. Tell you right now, I go out with my girlfriends who, oh, you look online, stoked, happy, everything's great. A couple of glasses of wine, their husband sucks, they hate one of their kids. So let's just all be honest with each other, shall we?
I think that's good advice. All right, so it's overeasy.com, and it's available for anyone in California, right? They can
yes.
just go on and find out what they need to know and if they even need the service at all.
Absolutely. Please come check us out.
It is wonderful to catch up with you, Laurie. Didn't we have you on when your book came out back
yes.
in the day?
You had us yeah. on. You had me on when the book came out. It was 2013, and I brought my son Luke with me to the studio, and Chester Bennington, may he rest in peace, was here that day.
Wow.
He had been a client of mine, so I got to introduce him to my son. So thank you for that opportunity, guys. Yes.
Well, let's not wait 5 years to have you back on, Laura. I really enjoyed this talk. Thanks so much.
Thank
all right?
you, guys.
Homie scored a key. He's going to fly.
Well, the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Did we just play Dynamite Hack?
We did.
I love that song.
Yep.
Aren't you surprised that that song has survived,
I'm
whereas
not.
Most novelty songs don't?
It does seem like a novelty song, but I love it every time I hear
yeah.
it.
I do,
agreed.
Too. We have a great 8 o'clock hour standing by here on K-Rock. The Chen bot herself, Julie Chen, is going to be joining us talking about Celebrity Big Brother. Finally, a Celebrity Big Brother in America, and I use the word celebrity very loosely. And also, we told a story about when we were recently in New York City broadcasting the show around Grammy weekend about Beer Mug almost getting into a knockdown, drag-out fight on an airplane. You don't ever want to be involved in a drag-out flight when you're on an airplane, by the way. But we're going to revisit that story and find out if you have ever come to blows on a flight, because I suspect a lot of our listeners, you know, just going to Vegas, you drink enough, it starts to look like a
right.
good idea, right? So that's coming up. First, though, Allie, what's happening at 7:53?
You guys watched the latest trailer for Deadpool 2?
Yes.
It is out.
Love it.
And we get to see Cable, Josh Brolin. How excited are you for this movie?
I wish they could just take all of my money right now.
Right?
Well, not all of it, but enough to see the movie.
Like $10, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you'd like to have enough to be able to get home after the
I
film.
I would, yes.
Right.
Please.
Maybe even get a
maybe
soda.
Some food.
Okay,
right. mm-hmm.
got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie comes out May 18th, and the Deadpool 2 newest trailer hit today, and people are losing their minds.
Can't
because
wait.
Because it's just some good stuff. So check that out. You guys make a lot of fun of me, and sometimes for very good reason.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people think that I'm maybe a little too paranoid mm-hmm. about certain things.
Sure.
Do I think that your Roomba may be spying on you? Absolutely. Do I cover my computer and my phone camera? 100%.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think this might change your mind about my paranoia, because I have found my conspiracy/paranoia soulmate in Bill Burr.
What?
He is on
what's,
Conan.
What's going on here? Did you buy Alexa?
No, I don't know why people would voluntarily bug your own house. Like, do you think you're the only one listening in on that? You never saw Weird Science, how creepy these nerds are? All these cameras on your phone, all of that. Do people go on Ancestry.com? Why would you send your saliva into the internet? Why would you do that? Why don't you just go to the Illuminati and help them build your robot replacement?
Right? Right?
Right.
Bill Burr
is just like me and any right-thinking American. Cover up those phone cameras. Cover up those computers. Alexa, really? Do you really need to say, Alexa, write chicken on my list? Come on.
Right,
walk 5 feet and write it.
Somebody's going to know that you want chicken.
They are listening all the time, Kevin. That's his point. And the reason Conan brought this up was because of his tweet. Bill just tweeted, Alexa, get the F out of my house. So he wanted a little backup on that. And I stand with you, Bill Burr.
Yes, you do.
I absolutely
Although
do.
Although the thing about the camera on your laptop, experts say that is the easiest hack to do.
100%.
So that may be good advice.
And you maybe, if you are a little paranoid like me, you do not want to Google stories of people that are watching you through that camera that then send you the video and blackmail you.
Oh,
it is happening
wow.
all the time.
Wow.
Ew.
Yeah, ew.
Really creepy, you guys.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right? Like, I was blackmailed. Like, hey, I've got video of you sitting on your butt eating chips, watching Dateline. You don't want this to get out. And I'm like, no, I don't.
So you paid how much?
$8. That's not much. Never heard from him again. This is fantastic. We love Emma Thompson.
Yes.
We love Mindy Kaling.
Yes.
They're going to star in a new comedy called Late Night, which was written by Mindy. It's a late night talk show host played by Emma, who's at risk of losing her long-running show until she hires her first female writer. And that's Mindy. And she saves not only the show,
but
Emma Thompson's life and the world. It doesn't say the world, but she has to.
I assume.
Those two teaming up.
Agreed.
That's good.
Yeah,
that
agree.
Is real good. So I'm going to keep my eye on Late Night, see when that hits theaters. And wow, Steve Wynn, things aren't going his way. He's the Las Vegas casino mogul. He has resigned as chairman of Wynn Resorts after he was accused of sexual harassment by a boatload of people. And some reported that he'd also assaulted them. And in one case, he had to pay out $7.5 million in a settlement. He, of course, has denied those allegations and claims his ex-wife is behind the reports. I mean, that's a lot of reports for his ex-wife to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw any of those stories, but they would basically alert people at the hotel, would alert other people at the hotel if he was coming to the spa, if he was coming to the area they worked, so they could hide.
He's on the move.
Yes.
Really?
It's just, it's awful. Not good.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you've just said, but I will say that when you say Steve Wynn, I only think of one thing, and that is him putting an elbow through a Picasso. Remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was $7-8 million.
And it was nothing to him, but still, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, put an elbow right through a Picasso, because he has vision problems.
Yeah.
And perhaps missed his spot. I don't know.
Perhaps missed his spot. Agreed, Bean. Poison. They're
Poison.
Back with all its original members for a
band?
Huge summer tour. It's called Nothing But a Good Time 2018 Tour. It begins in Irvine on May 18th. I'm letting you know because I'll be there. That's going to be a blast. Cheap Trick, by the way, opening. Do you think Cheap Trick is like, we're opening for Poison in 2018?
Yeah, that's
what
bizarre.
Has happened? What has happened? Baby, talk to me. CC, pick up that guitar and talk to me.
I don't know that I need Poison in 2018, but I guess there are people who would enjoy seeing that music again, right?
I will tell you this. Maybe when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
I was into the hair bands.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I won tickets from Pirate Radio
mm-hmm.
to see Poison
mm-hmm.
on the Sunset Strip. And maybe...
And then when this song was playing?
Well, I wouldn't know because I wasn't allowed in. But, I mean, I got dressed up in my little acid wash skirt, my L.A. Gear high tops. I scrunched down some socks.
Why were you not allowed in?
Parents dropped us off right there, said, we'll be back in a few hours. And I was like, right. And I got up to the front, and they're like, hey, 21 plus. I'm like, hey, I'm 15. Let's do this. Yeah. And back then, not a real good way to get a hold of people to come pick you up.
Sure.
Right.
3 hours on the Sunset Strip, 15.
How much did you make?
Oh, my God. You have no idea, Bean. I had no idea I was so good at stuff.
That took a real turn.
Yes, it did.
Some birthdays for you. Chris Rock, Garth Brooks, James Spader, Eddie Izzard, and Ashton Kutcher. And that's what's happening. What's going on?
Beer Mug just walked into the studio and was just brushing off his shirt like he was covered in something.
What? There's it's the old headphone earmuffs. They like, when they get old, they start to crack, and like the black stuff from the earmuffs gets
all over. None of us saw any of that.
Uh-oh.
Well, it's just you just.
He just has dandruff.
Beating yourself up.
I thought it was his tribute to Jay-Z, Dirt on Your Shoulder.
That's what he tried to turn. That's what he tried to turn it into at the end, yes.
Hey, the 2018 K-Rock All-Access Pass is still available for you to enter to win, by the way. This gets you VIP access to the Weenie Roast, also the Almost Acoustic Christmas, and the HD Radio Sound Space performance of your choice. All of that good stuff can be yours. Strangely, April Foolishness, still not included. But just go to krock.com to register to win it all.
All right, let's talk about getting in a fight on a plane.
Yeah.
Because Muggs, we just went to New York City for the Grammys. And Muggs almost got in a fight on the way back.
Oh, Allie had to literally hold me back.
I grabbed his arm and I said, maybe take a seat. I don't want to land in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was getting out of my row to let my seatmate go to the bathroom because I was on the aisle and she had the window.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lifting up the middle tray because we were both utilizing it for our drinks. And I was at my seat and I feel this forearm hit me in the back so hard. And I turn around and I go, excuse me. And this crotchety lady goes, your butt was in my face.
And by the way, very possible.
Possible, but it was, I mean, there was, I was, like I said, you could have, the flight attendant could have fit a drink cart between me and her. It was ridiculous. And I was so mad, so I continued to stand.
Let me just interrupt. It's rare, no matter how angry you are on a plane, for somebody to put their hands on you.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that's super rare.
Yeah.
There's a lot of yelling and posturing maybe even.
Sure.
But usually there's no touching.
I mean, she went from...
Straight elbow. She was dropping bows.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I continued to stand near her, and I kind of was like, is this okay for me to stand right here?
Yeah!
Is this
Mugs.
Yeah, I was so angry, and Allie had to calm me down. But then she started to pick a fight with Allie.
Yeah, then she started hitting... She was directly behind me.
And you so kicked her right in the head?
Well, no, I let it go during the flight because I was like, she's nuts. Something's not right with her. Until we were at the gate and she decides to get up and just starts going towards the front. And a guy two rows in front of us stops her and he goes, what are you doing? And she goes, I'm leaving. And he goes, well, what we do here on planes is we go row by row. And she goes, oh, I didn't see that written anywhere. To which my response was, oh, here we go. Now it's on. I lost it at that point because I'm like, you were awful to Muggs. You were awful to me. Now you're awful to this man.
To everyone,
this
really
will not stand.
So did you take her down?
I could have.
Sweet.
Oh, man.
Do you think you would have handled the situation differently had it been a man and not a woman that was getting in and invading your space?
I thought about that, being an... I'm not a confrontational guy, but I do... I mean, if I'm set off to a point, yeah. If it was a guy, I think it would have been...
pushed back a little
bit,
maybe.
World star hip-hop right on the
plane. Would you have been like, you want to go, bro?
Yeah.
Let's do this, bro.
But they would have said that 15 times and it was set down.
Right.
Because I know that, look, very few people want to get into a fight.
Right.
It's nobody's idea of a way to spend an afternoon. But in particular on a flight when you realize that you guys are stuck with each other for the duration of the flight, or worse, as Allie said, you end up forcing a landing to Oklahoma. Nobody wants that. I would think that most people would be a little bit more reserved on a plane, be less likely to get into a fight than they would if they were in a Burger King.
Yeah, I thought about that.
I mean, the whole thing started with Muggs getting an elbow in the back, though. I mean,
yeah,
that's rare.
Crazy.
That's really rare.
We are going to take your calls, by the way, if you've ever been involved in a fight on an airplane. I know that's very specific, but we want to hear from you if it happened and find out why at 1-800-520-1067. Here's an article from a couple of months ago with a Burbank flight. A video has surfaced. By the way, I'm going to sneeze, Kevin, so get excited in just a second.
Yes.
A video has... not yet. I'll let you know.
Don't even start the story yet.
See, it just went away.
Oh!
A video has surfaced of a fist fight between two men aboard a Southwest Airlines flight as an aircraft was taxiing to a terminal at Hollywood Burbank Airport for a layover, according to Burbank police. In the video posted to Twitter, the two men can be seen grappling one another on a plane, with one man repeatedly throwing punches at the other.
Oh,
a woman can be heard screaming, "What is wrong with you? Get off of him!"
The video ends just as passengers pull the two men apart. Apparently, this guy was helping a man with his luggage when he heard a big tussle going on several rows in front of him. One of the guys picked up another guy by his shirt, pushed him up against the overhead bin.
Holy crap.
This is WWE stuff. Then he kind of flung him around and threw him down. How crazy is that? The incident was surreal as the plane ride was as smooth as it can be. By the way, you know that the police, the Burbank Police Department, were there to meet that plane when it came, because they always have questions about fights like that when it happens. I don't know. What do you do if you're a flight attendant on a flight like that when that kind of fight where people are literally being thrown into the aisle? What do you do? How do you even stop that?
I mean, if they're already throwing people, I don't know that you do.
Yeah. You just wait to it. Until it kind of ends, then you're like, hey, guys, let's separate.
Like a ref in the NHL. Yeah. You let them wear themselves out.
Is there a whistle involved?
Right. I mean, then you take them to the penalty box.
It is interesting when you think about how fragile civility is in a, you know, in a metal tube in the air. You're kind of depending on your fellow travelers to figure out a way to work it out without it turning into some sort of a brawl.
Yeah.
These headlines, though, if you bring up fight on an airplane, passengers get into fist fight aboard Southwest flight. Chaos erupts on plane after two passengers go for it. Passengers get into nasty brawl aboard a plane. American arrested for fighting on Air Nippon Airways flight from Tokyo. It just goes on and on.
Oh, man.
Lots of them. And, you know, thanks to cell phones, we have videos of lots of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
I almost got in a fight with Rick Dees. It was very close. We were screaming.
No.
Excuse me. We were yelling. Those of you that are long time listeners, we used to pick on him a lot in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And he was sitting one row in front of me, and he stood up and he was like, nice to meet you. And then we started talking, and all of a sudden he started saying stuff to me, and I started yelling at him. And it was probably, it seemed like it was 10 seconds, but it was probably longer. And the stewardess came over and said, hey, could you guys keep it down?
No.
And only at that point did I realize we're yelling.
What were you saying to each other? Was he like, stop making fun of me? Or
it was, it's a long story, but it was after we sent Michael, the maintenance man, over to his house.
Right.
And he was claiming that he's worried about his family, blah, blah, blah. And then we went on TV, the whole thing. And so we were talking about that, and I started yelling at him, and he was yelling back at me. I was like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
Okay, first of all, I know Rick Dees. He's one of the nicest, kindest men in the world. I know you. You're one of the nicest, kindest men in the world. I would pay to see
I know, he just started like really coming on strong, and I was like, stop it. Why would you say that? This is insane. And I didn't realize that we were being that loud. But
yeah.
No.
Ollie, do you really think Rick Dees is nice? You think that's
100%.
That's just the showbiz.
I've met him numerous times. He is just a gentle, kind man.
Not buying it.
100%.
All right. And my follow up question is, you really think that Kevin is that nice? And that's not just the showbiz Hollywood?
All of us think that. Yes.
Come on, Bean.
It's a radio war, and it's at least nice to be ahead of those goons.
All right. Let's take one call before the break at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, it's our friend Paul from Placentia calling us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys.
How you been, man?
I'm great. Years back, my wife and I were flying to Connecticut, and there was two super drunk ladies in the row in front of us. And they kept putting their seat back and stretching out their arms so it was going to poke me in the face. And I warned them two times. The third time, I grabbed one of their arms and I wouldn't
let
go. Yes,
look
said,
at you, Paul.
You know, I said, you need to stop. And they flipped out, stood up, started screaming at me and stuff. And a pilot had to come on the intercom and tell them that they better settle down or the federal marshals are going to wait for them at the airport.
Wow. Paul is like the 1715 to Paris before that even happened, man.
The entire plane cheered, though. It was awesome.
And you stood up and you took a bow?
Pretty much.
I like
Pass the hat.
Nice.
All right. Well done. I guess you were defending the honor of every man and woman on that plane, Paul.
You're a hero. A lot of people say you're a hero.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, sir. We always appreciate hearing from you. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Zach, you hang on. We're going to get right to you. We want to hear your calls. If you were involved in a fight on an airplane, now, will we also accept you were nearby and saw
it? Oh, sure.
Kevin?
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's what we're looking for is just juicy drama in the skies. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on K-Rock.
At Imagine Dragons in just 1 second. First, let's talk to Zach. Hello, Zach.
How is it going?
Good, thank you. We're talking about people who got in a fight on a plane.
Oh, yeah. So, two of my friends, this started at the airport bar, San Francisco, on the way back to L.A. We went up there for a championship MT2A game, which we lost. Mm-hmm. We see these guys who beat us. They're already arguing, they're being polite about it.
we go to boarding the plane. Three of us are kind of in our seats, putting stuff in the overhead compartment, and I'm getting already lubricated from.
What's happening with your phone?
No, not like that. The guys come on right after us, and the argument ensues. The flight attendants tell them to settle down. Both.
Okay, I don't know what's happening with your phone. I'm sorry.
Look, I'm sure it's a great story, but we'll never know, will we? Your call's next, 1-800-520-1067. Coming right back on camera. But we'll never know how Zach's story ended.
They got in a fight. 3-on-3, they got in a fight.
Okay, mm-hmm. I feel better now. 1-800-520-1067. Beer Mug almost got into an actual fist fight on the plane back from New York recently when we took our trip for the Grammys. So we're taking your calls about whatever broke out in the air on your flight at 1-800-520-1067. Wow, we got some good ones here. Why don't we try, let's see Ashley here on line 4. Let's see what she's talking about.
Hey, Ashley, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey.
So what happened?
All right, so this is like 15 years ago. I'm on a flight to New York. Mm-hmm. I've got my 2-year-old son with me. And there's this family of three, a husband, a wife, and a like 6-month-old in his car seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby's crying mm-hmm. for like an hour into the flight, just crying and crying and crying. And you can see the mom fervently trying to quiet the baby. But the dad, and they're fighting, the mom and dad are fighting, the dad won't let her pick him up. He will not let her pick him up. So she's trying to just make the baby happy in the car seat. Everybody's looking at each other. People are asking the flight attendants, please make the baby.
Sounds
the baby
very
up.
Tense.
Yeah, oh, it was terrible. Everyone's just looking at each other. The baby is screaming now. Finally, I can't take it anymore, and I snap. So I'm like, pick the freaking baby up!
Ashley, everybody.
That's not even the best part! Or the worst part, I should say.
Okay.
The dad turns around. He's like 3 feet, 3 rows in front of me. He turns around and says, I paid for that seat and the baby's going to sit in it.
Oh,
I look at him
gosh. And
I'm like, well, you're a moron because I didn't. And I have my son sitting next to me in a seat that I didn't pay for. It was a really not overbooked flight, and I happened to get the whole row to myself.
So it sounds like Ashley
finally,
didn't get into a fist fight, but was hoping to.
And he goes, okay, fine. And she let him pick the baby, and he let her pick the baby up. Everybody cheers!
Ashley was the hero.
Amen.
Look at that.
How about that?
I mean, maybe a flight isn't the best time to try out different parenting skills, right?
For parents who bring kids on a plane, though, they're usually paranoid beyond words.
Well, it sounds like the mom was.
The mom was,
yeah.
Ew. Very good, Ashley. Thank you. Give me some line 2. Let's talk to Diego. He's at Alhambra next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Diego.
Hey, guys. Morning. So I was on a trip with my friends in high school, and we were in the waiting lobby, and some of the other people, the other guys that we were with, they were eating, like, Panda Express, and they didn't clean any of it up. And they left, like, just imagine orange chicken, like, all over the floor.
They're savages.
So we get on the plane, and we're boarded. And the Southwest lady that boards people, she's like, hold on. And she comes on, and she looks down the aisle, and she sees us. And she comes on and just chews us out. She's like, I don't ever want to see you in my airport again. I swear to God, if you crack a smile, like, I'll kick your butt off right now.
Wait, like, she thought it was you that were doing it?
Yeah, she thought it was us. She thought it was my friend and I. And we're like, we didn't do it. She's like, no, shut up. Don't crack a smile. So, yeah, and she just, in front of the whole plane, everyone's looking at us. And we were like, dude, we didn't even.
That wasn't even us.
You know what? I don't even want to come back to Sacramento.
All right. Very good. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Carlos, line 7. He's in Los Feliz. He's got some girl fight to tell us about.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, good morning, you guys. So I was coming back from Dallas not too long ago, actually, and there was two ladies across from me. One of them was a little heavier set woman sitting in the middle, and on the corner was, you know, a regular lady. She was a bit agitated because I guess they had removed her from her first class seat. And out of nowhere, this lady that's sitting on the corner, she just drops like 6 elbows to the side of this lady's face.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, and the ironic part about this whole thing is that by the end of the flight, they were the best friends that, you know, like, they've known each other forever. It was just, I was astonished. Seriously, it was crazy.
You thought the plane would be diverted because it was going to be such a huge crisis, and at the end, they were perfectly happy.
They ended up getting married, I heard.
Did you hear that, Bean?
It was the weirdest thing. I gave the lady a calming pill. She relaxed. And by the end of the flight, she was...
Carlos, you drugged another passenger is what you did.
Why is Carlos walking around with a pharmacy
with
in his coat?
Calming pills.
I'd like to know what the calming pill
was
called.
What is that called?
Rohypnol?
The calming pill? I think something like the doctor gave me a bit of Xanax or something.
Okay, Xanax. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Just check. Yeah.
Right. Carlos is prepared when he flies, man.
Don't
He's ready.
Who needs Xanax? Somebody step up. All right, where do we go next?
To the commercial.
Okay, good.
I am very confused by something, you guys, before we go to Julie Chen on the phone here. I thought, what happened to USA, USA, America First?
I don't know what that means.
Well, let me see. I'm reading about Big Brother Belgium. Mm-hmm. This is the Big Brother Celebrity Belgium, Big Brother Celebrity Poland, Mexico, Hungary, Denmark, Albania, Kosovo, South Africa, Croatia, Australia, and 21 seasons of Celebrity Big Brother in the UK.
Okay.
It comes to America tonight?
Listen, letting them, you know, just iron out all the kinks before we get it. Yes,
right?
Yes.
Seriously, are we also Rans here, Julie? What's the problem? Why is it taking so long for Celebrity Big Brother to come to our shores?
Well, because we talked about in 2001. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. This is so many years ago.
Right.
We had Paris Hilton say she would sign up for 3 months. Mm-hmm. It was so early, someone in the room said, "Who's Paris Hilton?"
Oh, wow.
Okay.
We had Roseanne say she would do it. Then she said she wouldn't do it. It was too hard to get celebrities to commit to 3 months.
Yeah.
Especially summer 3 months. You know, celebs, they like to be on yachts in the Mediterranean.
Sure, sure. Okay.
You normally do 99 days, right?
Right. And this is only 2.5 weeks. What celebrity is not going to say, put me on for 2.5 weeks, and I might win $250,000. That's a pretty sweet gig. Not to mention, you stay relevant. You know, I've seen and I've heard in the UK, people, like the first season they did Celebrity Big Brother in London, people who went in, like big celebrities, came out, and suddenly their fan base didn't love them so much because they saw, like...
Is that right? The bad side of them.
Interesting.
But then people who went in who were kind of forgotten about and didn't really have a following, they came out like renewed, like brand, like, we love you. We've missed you. Like they got a second lease on Celebrity Life.
Okay. So one of the things that I find most fascinating and what's different about the Celebrity Big Brother, Julie, is that they have no idea who they're going to be living with for this 2.5 weeks. Until you make the reveal, they don't know who else is in the house, right?
Exactly. And you're going to see the expressions on everyone's face when I say, please welcome Omarosa.
You must have been so happy when you got the word that she was in. I mean, that is a game changer, right?
Game changer. I mean, she is the headline. I mean, that's who everyone wants to watch. She's not necessarily the person that everyone's going to root for.
Oh, God, no.
Everyone wants to watch her on the live feeds and see what she reveals about her time in the White House and Donald Trump and knowing him for 15 years.
Yeah. All right. This may be a dumb question, and forgive me if this goes nowhere, Julie, but I was just thinking about this morning. Because of this live feed that you have, in other words, we get to see multiple hours on the network, of course, starting tonight, the 3-night premiere event on CBS at Channel 8, or excuse me, 8 o'clock on Channel 2. Because people are going to be watching this whenever they want in the live feed, is CBS worried about the things that are going to come out of those people's mouths that somehow you guys are going to seem like bad guys for putting bad people in a house?
No, I mean, I think we worry about that more with the regular house guests. You know, celebrities are very familiar to this game of being in the public eye. So there's that. But on the other side, no one can be a phony 24/7 for up to 3 weeks. It would be exhausting.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, the disclaimer CBS always puts up before you watch, you know, Big Brother After Dark or the live feeds is the disclaimer that says whatever is said or done in the house is on the individual who says or does something in the house.
Gotcha.
It is not a reflection of our thoughts. You know,
gotcha.
I mean, if you're going to say something really ugly and the live feeders are going to start, you know, their hate mongering on
sure.
the internet about you, you better own it because you said it. You know, this is reality. This is like the only reality show or the most real reality show because the cameras don't lie. And you get to watch live from your own house, like what's happening.
We're
not doing scripts.
Do these celebrities have access to social media in that 2.5 weeks? They don't at all.
No, they don't have any social media access. I mean, that on one hand, they don't get the social media feedback, right?
You know,
because people who are fans of theirs or people who, you know, love to hate them, they're watching. So the social media world, you know, that train has left the station and they are continuing whatever they're saying about people in the Big Brother house. You just don't know if people are falling in love with you or you're developing like a group of people who can't stand you.
Right. Yeah, certainly.
Now,
just like the real Big Brother.
With Big Brother, you obviously have to be nice and kind and lovely to the other contestants, get them on your side. But there's that element of manipulation that you need, and you need to be good at it so a lot of them don't realize you're doing it. Is there any one contestant that you're seeing right now that you're like, you know what? I just know a little bit about them, but it's enough. I think they're going to win it.
Well, if it was purely a social game and there's, you know, if there were no physical or mental, if there was no physical component mm-hmm. or mental component in the competitions, I would say Omarosa is amazing. I mean, everyone, their face like kind of dropped when they saw her come in. Normally, who really knows her? So the expectation level was very low. And she's surprisingly coming across very, very likable and charming.
Give her time.
Everyone. Right, give her time. And she has said that to us. She has said, I know the live feeds go on tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific. That's when I'm going to start playing the game. Like, so right now, she's kind of lulled everyone in this false sense of security. She's almost become like a den mother. They're all like, oh, my gosh, I was ready to hate her, and I don't. So, you know, the only way was up for her.
Very clever. Very clever. All right. In our remaining moments with Julie Chan, again, we're talking about Big Brother 3-night premiere event starting tonight through Friday on CBS. I have to ask, oftentimes these celebrities are the most famous person in whatever room they're in. They're used to being catered to. They're used to getting their way. I would imagine this really upsets their worldview when they're shoved into a situation like this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be humbling for a few celebrities in there who maybe have not been like at the top of their game in recent years. And some people are, you know, much younger. So for example, James Maslow,
mm-hmm.
I didn't
Big Time Rush
him,
kid.
I'm too old. He's
right.
From Big Time Rush.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone under a certain age, they're like, oh my God, he's so dreamy. I was like, okay, I'm old. And I think some of the older celebrities who are like over 40 are like, wait, if they don't have like a young kid at home, they're like, wait, who are you? That's
uh-huh.
got to be a little bit humbling to him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's interesting because I've already seen like Mark McGrath kind of freak out that he's in the same house as Meta World Peace and Chuck Liddell.
I love it. See, I love that. And I was picking Mark McGrath as one of the super likable people who might actually win the game.
If it was a likability factor, he definitely has that going for him. You know, I mean, he's physically fit.
Sure.
I don't know how competitive he is because a lot of the challenges, you know, it's endurance. It's mental.
Right.
I mean, think about it. He became a really big rock star at a young age, like mm-hmm. in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this guy, his life has kind of been like a gravy train, you know? Like,
gotcha.
You hit it big, you know, you're born good looking, probably, you know, I assume he was the popular kid in high school. and sure. college. I found out we went to college together.
Oh.
I didn't know him. I wasn't in the popular group. You know, he looks like a typical, like, good-looking USC guy. He went to SC. And then, before you know it, he's out of college a couple of years. He makes it big with Sugar Ray. You know, he has screaming, beautiful girls,
sure.
like, screaming at him on stage. And, now he's married. He's got, like, twin girls who are 7 years old. He's a dad. He gets it that he's, not that guy anymore, but he could still bring it. He still tours with them.
Sure.
He gets who he is, and he's super likable. And it was kind of fun seeing him be a fan of someone else in the house.
Well, it's a great group of contestants, and there's going to definitely be someone in there for you to root for and somebody for you to root against. The Big Brother 3-night premiere event starts tonight at 8 p.m. on CBS Channel 2. So you got tonight, you got tomorrow night, and then the 2-hour live eviction show is going to be on Friday night. Julie, great to finally have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for talking to us about Celebrity Big Brother.
It was my honor. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye now.
And it is 8:54.
Remember the terrible caller we took earlier in the hour named Zach that was having so much trouble with his story and with his telephone?
Right.
He reached out to us on the Kevin Bean social media and said that he got kicked off that flight, didn't get to that part of the story.
Okay.
Hit somebody and got kicked off the flight. And he also adds that weed may have been involved in the phone troubles, my people. I'm not sure how weed makes it impossible for you to use a phone, but you go.
I believe it.
That's the Zach update. It is Wednesday morning here on K-Rock. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin Beach Show at 855 Alley. What's happening?
You know those Mucinex commercials where that big old booger, Mr. Mucus, just walking around making everyone's life miserable?
Mm-hmm.
It's voiced by TJ Miller.
Okay.
Well, he is out. He has been replaced. He, by the way, has been the voice of Mr. Mucus since 2014. He has been replaced by Jason Mantzoukas. Who we love. So funny. Great guy. They are not saying exactly why. A lot of people are speculating it's because of the allegations against Miller back in college. Some sexual harassment, physical violence by Miller when she was a student at George Washington University. The woman that claimed these allegations. They're not saying. They're just saying that they are evaluating our strategy and our creative talent on a regular basis.
When you lose Mr. Mucus.
I mean,
right?
Things aren't going so hot, is what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Well, at least he's a really nice guy to everyone, and he'll probably get another job soon. Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are writing and producing a new series of Star Wars films. That is not to be confused with the Rian Johnson series that has been announced.
Okay.
Or the Skywalker saga. So we have a lot of new Star Wars coming our way. And from everyone that watches Game of Thrones, they couldn't be more excited. Because obviously those two know what they're doing. They know how to create characters.
Yeah.
Do all that. So a lot of excitement yesterday for this big announcement. And I did see Star Wars on their press release. They said no White Walkers in the galaxy. I was like, Star Wars, that's funny. Because that's on Game of Thrones.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of Star Wars coming our way, guys.
It is.
You guys.
I love
Chelsea
it.
Peretti.
Yes.
Hysterical. You might know her from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She plays Gina Linetti. You might also know her as the funny woman that does amazing stand-up. Well, she was on Conan the other night, and she was talking about her wedding with Jordan Peele. How many people were there? Very funny story. Talking about her baby. Very funny stuff. Talking a lot about her mother, who she does a lot of her stand-up about.
Right.
And her mom really wants her to maybe be a little nicer in her stand-up. But she also gets really honest with Conan about the very specific way that she has benefited from the Me Too movement.
You felt that the hashtag Me Too movement was benefiting you in a very specific way.
Yeah. I'm always looking to benefit, you know? But a weird thing that I've noticed is an uptick in people watching my one-hour special, and it feels like they're searching for people who aren't rapists to watch their stand-up. Like, it's like that's what it took for people to watch a female comedian's hour special. They're like, okay, that's a criminal. I guess I'll try this. It's been great.
The good thing is not all male comedians are horrible people.
And that, neither one of them believe it.
I'm telling you, that stare off and the laughing continued just a little too long, and it was perfect.
I love it.
Oh, I loved it so much. This is something we can all relate to. Michael B. Jordan is in peak condition, right?
Agreed.
For his role in Black Panther. But the strict diet can be brutal on your social life. You don't have to tell me, right? So he's talking to Ellen DeGeneres, saying that he was working out 2 to 3 times a day preparing for the role and had to eat 6 meals in a 24-hour span and drink over a gallon of water, which he then said, listen, you're doing all that. You're not going out. You're not hanging out at the club. You're not doing anything. That it was just kind of a bummer time for him.
I can see that.
Getting ready for Black Panther. And then you figure, oh, wait, he's now in Creed 2. He begins that in April. This guy has had no break for 2 years. He's just had to be super hot and eat a lot of, like, chicken and low
lean meats. He needs to play a fat guy in his
That's what I'm saying, Michael.
Drink and play a fat guy.
Yes. Let us help you. We want...
There are some actors, you just look at their career and you go, man, they just never, they never make a mistake. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You look at Friday Night Lights that he was star of. Yeah. You look at Parenthood where he was so great. Well, Fantastic Four maybe wasn't the biggest hit in the world, but he was great in it. Obviously, yeah. Creed was great. I mean, he's just in Black Panther. It's going to take him to a whole other level.
One of us saw Black Panther.
Yes, one of us did.
And the rest of us are very jealous.
Yep.
Kevin, what would you say about Black Panther if you had to give it a review?
I would say that it's a 10 out of 10, but in a way that you don't expect.
Oh.
What made you think that it was cool to say that?
Yeah, Kevin, what made you think
just
that?
Saying.
You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
That's right. What I'm saying.
I'm just saying.
Really?
Yeah.
Let the pasty white guy go to the Black Panther
I'm just saying.
Movie? None of us? Pasty white chicks.
That's pretty good.
That's something else right there, man.
Right?
I am saying. I cannot wait for that movie.
And you're going to love it.
It is going to do probably the most ridiculous numbers ever, right? And at least for a Marvel movie.
And it's a superhero movie that sort of isn't like all the other superhero movies you've seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's different.
Because you think, how do you switch up a superhero movie? There's kind of a formula they follow.
It's sort of different than most superhero movies.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
I mean, she did. Allie did just ask me in my defense.
In defense. I did. Oh, that is never going to get old.
No.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah, it's never going to get old.
Happy birthday, Ashton Kutcher, Chris Rock, Garth Brooks, James Spader, Deborah Ann Woll, and Eddie Izzard. And that's what's happening.
Hey, I am so fascinated by the Falcon Heavy space launch yesterday. And the first thing I thought was, how is Falcon Heavy not Dave the King of Mexico's DJ name?
Yeah, it's the best.
DJ Falcon Heavy, right?
Also not a DJ, if that matters.
Well, yeah, true.
Okay.
I am just so all about it, and I feel like I understand 1% of what's going on with this mission.
I don't even know what it is, so...
This is Elon Musk, who, you know, runs SpaceX. He's the Tesla billionaire who is basically he's trying to make a commercial enterprise out of space travel.
Right.
He's the guy who's going to send people up into space. He's the guy whose rockets you can now hire to put your payloads in, take your satellites up. He has been up to the International Space Station. He does all of that. He's a space geek.
Okay.
And he's putting his money where his mouth is. So yesterday they launched from the famous Cape Canaveral in Florida, where the Apollo missions used to launch from. They launched the biggest rocket in the world, basically ever.
Okay.
The thinking is this is the first step in the kinds of rockets that we will need to be able to take people to Mars, for instance, because they're that big and that fast.
Okay.
And this rocket that went up yesterday orbited the Earth. Hey, flat earthers, by the way, if you saw any of that video. I mean, the Earth is just, it was a live stream of the Earth just looking like a marble.
Sure.
And then it will go on past Mars and then continue on even past Pluto, believe it or not. And then we'll orbit the sun for hundreds of millions of years. And what made it so interesting yesterday is that he put a Tesla automobile on the rocket.
in case it lands somewhere?
No. Does it work like that? What do you think, Allie? Just show business, I guess?
100%.
Has to be show off.
It's Starman.
So they put an astronaut, they put a dummy in the driver's seat of the Tesla, dressed like an astronaut, and they're playing Starman by David Bowie on a loop in the car. And there's this dude orbiting the Earth right now in a Tesla. There's a car in space, which has to be
Kevin's face right now. But if you were to see the pictures, your face would be even more like that.
Just makes no sense.
There's a camera following a fake astronaut in a convertible in space. What's going on?
You can't have a convertible in space. At least I know that.
Is it a convertible?
Yes, but he's in a spacesuit, Kevin. So it doesn't matter if the windows are down.
You don't understand anything about space.
No, I don't. I know that's true. He's got his arm hanging out the window, by the way.
Sure.
Just like casually rolling out the window.
I just showed him a picture. It looks so fake.
It does look so fake, but
it's on a lot in Burbank.
No, it's real.
It's real.
Bean.
They fall for everything.
I saw it on TV. You can't fake things that are on TV,
right?
But it's just so weird. And is it the greatest and most expensive commercial ever for an automobile? Like, don't you think there are lots of bros out there who are going to be like, "I got to have that car that's in space."
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Because the car's not doing anything in space.
It's driving in space,
Kevin.
It's
maneuvering lanes.
It's not really. There are no lanes in space.
I mean,
the dummy using his arms to the left turn,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, okay. I think he's doing it mentally.
I see. Okay.
As cool as Tesla already was, now you put this on top of it, and it's a miraculous marketing scheme on top of the fact that this guy is all in and invested in science, which is awesome, and in humans being multiplanetary, which I can't begin to understand the challenges involved in not only going to another planet, but living there. Think about all the things you'd have to do to be able to spend any kind of significant time other than just sitting in a little space capsule on Mars or something like that to actually be able to live there. Can you imagine the challenges involved there?
No. Mm-mm. I can't even begin to.
And why?
It's a miracle I can drive my car to work each day.
It is. It's a miracle. And do we agree that that's something we want to do? I guess the question is it worth doing just to see if we can? Is that where, or is there some reason why humans need to live on other planets?
More often than ever right now, I say to myself, I don't want to live on this Earth anymore.
It's not enough to leave America.
Right.
You need to leave the Earth.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what the timeline is for something like this, what we'll see in our lifetime. But, you know, this was a big step yesterday. And I was just talking to DJ Falcon Heavy about it. He's also very excited about
it.
But you should check out some of the footage, and you should see the car in space. And it's actually very, very cool. It's extraordinary times in which we live, my friends.
The 1975 on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Allie, what's happening?
Guys' Night Out is happening.
This Friday night.
Yeah! Oh, yeah. It's all happening at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. You are going to get to play some serious poker with the guys. Yeah, it's going to be Beer Mug, Kevin, Dave, the King of Mexico, as well as Omar Khan. He's going to be out there DJing, having a great time.
Un-American.
Very American, actually. But I want to give you a spot to play poker at Dave's table right now.
What's up?
Oh, yeah.
DJ Falcon Heavy?
DJ Falcon Heavy. Plus, you're going to get a rack of chips worth $200. So give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will take caller 20. You must be 21 or older, obviously. It's a casino. And you get to sit at Dave's table.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's wintertime? So anyways.
Kind of sparkling conversation.
I mean, there's just going to be a lot of chit-chat. It's going to be great. Talk about sweaters, whatever you want. It's all happening again this Friday. You can also RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys right now at thebike.com. That's always a really good time, right?
Yeah, it's a really good time.
It's a bummer that you don't allow ladies.
Ladies are welcome.
I don't know. It's called K-Rock's Guys Night Out.
Normally, it's set hours. It's from like 9 to midnight or something like that. And like 2 a.m., there's still some of us playing. And Omar's already put the equipment away and gone.
Really?
Yeah, we just stay and play.
Some late nights
out
there.
So it's good time. Call right now and we'll get right back.
We're not going to get
back to you.
I don't think we will. I don't think we will at all. Quincy Jones is doing a lot of interviews lately. The last one I saw was the GQ interview. You saw this one too, Bean. He talked about how he had 22 girlfriends all around the globe. They all know about each other, so it's cool. But he apparently is quite the dater, right?
Sounds like he has had his choice of companionship over the years.
Apparently so. Well, he just did another interview with Vulture, and he talks about probably the most unlikely pairing I could ever have imagined.
Okay.
Quincy Jones is claiming that he used to date Ivanka Trump. That is the president's daughter. Not the wife. That was Ivana. Ivanka.
Oh, wait a second.
Trump. Yeah.
Isn't Quincy Jones like 75?
This was when she was only 24 at the time, and he was in his early 70s. But here's where I'm a little bit confused. So this is the quote: I used to date Ivanka, 12 years ago. Tommy Hilfiger, who is working with my daughter, Kadada, said, Ivanka wants to have dinner with you. I said, no problem. She's a fine mother effer. She had the most beautiful legs I ever saw in my life. Wrong father, though. Which is an amazing quote on so many levels. But to me, you're just saying that Ivanka Trump wanted to have dinner with you. You're a music mogul, maybe wanted to pick your brain. She's a businesswoman.
Right.
Did you maybe just have dinner with her? And then he said, we dated?
Yeah, that's not a date.
That's not a date. That's a dinner.
It's a dinner.
So, yeah. It's going to make all the headlines today that they used to date. But
I mean, is it possible that they had dinner and then that led to a date?
Oh.
You know?
Maybe. You never know.
Because time didn't stop at the end of that dinner.
That is a great point, Kevin.
Thank you.
Time did not stop at the end of
that
dinner.
Always thinking science.
She wanted to make the trip. She said, Dad, can I go with you? She actually said, Daddy, can I go with you? I like that, right? Daddy, can I go with you? I said, yes, you can.
All right. Well, maybe some daddy issues. So maybe there's something.
Daddy likey.
Listen, I don't know. I'm just saying I've had dinner with a lot of men.
And you've dated them all.
I would not say I dated them.
Okay.
No.
Right. That's what
it's
I mean.
It's just a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
On to less creepy dating news. Sarah Silverman and Michael Sheen, together about 4 years, right? They called it quits, but we found out about it Monday because Sarah wound up tweeting about it. But they've been separated for over a month.
No!
I know. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But I love this tweet. She said, the great Michael Sheen and I consciously uncoupled over Christmas. I mean, not over Christmas. Like, that wasn't the fight that ended it. No fight. We just live in different countries, and it got hard. Felt we should let you all know so you stop asking, how's Michael? How's Sarah? But then she posted a picture on Instagram of a gift that was sent to her from Kate Beckinsale, okay, which is Michael Sheen's ex from, they dated like late 90s through early 2000s. They have a daughter together. So Michael Sheen,
yeah,
right?
He's right.
He's doing all right. But she posted a picture of M&Ms with both hers and Michael Sheen's face on them, sent by Kate Beckinsale. They've become very good friends over the years.
Huh.
And she said, been ending every night with a microwave bowl of personalized M&Ms given to me by the very thoughtful and very cruel Kate Beckinsale to remind me that I'm alone in this world. So very alone. All caps. Thanks, Kate. Which, I mean, who has a better attitude about a 4-year relationship ending than Sarah Silverman?
Yeah, she's the best.
She's the greatest. And how great is Kate Beckinsale to be like, enjoy this candy with both your faces on it?
Michael Sheen can't love thinking about the conversations that are going on between his ex-wife and his ex-girlfriend.
I mean, I think he'll be all right.
He's fine.
He's going to bounce back.
I don't see how you reconcile one person wanting to live in Europe and the other person wanting to live in America. I think that'd be tough to come up with a compromise, especially if you both have very active careers in those countries.
So that's what happened.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we covered it. So they should have broken up, right?
I'm just saying it's a shame that it didn't work out because they seem very, very happy together.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know what the workaround is there. I mean, I guess you could try just going back and forth, but that's tough.
Yeah,
too.
That doesn't work long term, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, even back and forth if she lived in New York is tough.
Yes, agree.
Right.
But
from L.A.?
Ugh.
Ugh.
Trust me.
Right.
It is a nightmare. I'm willing to do it, though. If any
now that Michael Sheen's available?
Any British men named Michael Sheen are listening. No, of course not. Speaking of the UK, I brought this up earlier, and it brings me so much joy. Residents of Peterhead, Scotland are breathing a sigh of relief after police rounded up an escaped tiger.
That's crazy.
A tiger. But there's a little more to the story. The drama started. A local farmer called police to report a large tiger hanging around his property. When cops arrived, they spotted the animal crouching on a ramp leading into a barn.
Crouching is about to attack.
He is going to tear up whatever animals are in that barn.
And it doesn't matter what animals there are.
Absolutely. It's a freaking tiger.
Yeah.
But after a 45-minute standoff, police made a startling discovery that the tiger was just a big stuffed toy. 45 minutes. I mean, I feel like whoever is the head of that police department in Peterhead, Scotland said 10 minutes.
Right.
How did you not assess after 10 minutes?
Okay, 20 minutes.
20. Let's give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's dark.
A half hour.
Half hour.
It hasn't moved. There's no way it moves even a little bit.
45 minutes. Oh, the joy that has brought me. Quality, quality stuff. Some birthdays for you. Ashton Kutcher, Chris Rock, Garth Brooks, James Spader, Eddie Izzard, Deborah Ann Wall. And that's what's happening.
Thank you all. The SoCal Helpful Hunt. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Another edition of He Said, She Said. We also have a brand new Spotify playlist we're going to tell you about. We have comedian Brian Callen on the program.
That's so funny.
We have sports with Jim Rome, and we talk with Dr. Drew on Thursdays as well. We'll see you tomorrow.